connect. When you look at Psalm 119, it's one of the longest psalms in the book of Psalms, mostly dealing with the Word. Now, last week we talked about the Bible being the central focus of the church. And we talked a little bit about the theology behind the Baptist. You have the pulpit here, which is central. You go into other churches, the pulpit may be to the right, to the left. You may have the Lord's Supper central. But for us, the Bible is central, and it should be. The Bible needs to be central to the life of the church. But today, having established that fact, I'm coming into a text now. It's written to young men, but I believe secondary. It can apply to all of us because Psalm 119 is so diverse. The Bible needs to be central not only to the life of the church, but it needs to be central to your life. And that means that God has given us this word to study. Next week, I'll get into a little bit today, but next week we will then take it and look at the New Testament and how the church functioned there. I maintain that the church functioned more in the homes through Bible studies than it did actually in a worship setting. And so we'll go there the last Sunday after the next one. So anyway, today we're going to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to look at obeying the Word. And first of all, the psalmist gives us the goal. Notice he says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" No doubt this is a question for a young man to ask of himself. And the goal is purity. Matter of fact, the goal of the Christian life is purity. It is to live for God in this crooked and depraved generation, if I may say that strongly, in agreement with the Word, that we are to make our way in this world, we are to navigate through this world on our own race, knowing that the goal of the Christian life is purity. You say, well, Pastor, in one sense we're already pure. That's absolutely true. When Christ died on a cross, he paid for our sin, but we still struggle with the flesh here and now. And so we have to navigate through, and the goal is for us to be holy people, consecrated to God, that is, sanctified, obviously, by the Holy Spirit, but also progressing to be more and more like Christ and less like the world. It's a good question, a very good question. And one of the questions that we need to be asking ourselves, of course, I don't even have to walk this far, but you guys get in a car and drive, how can I exhibit purity today? It's a good question. And the psalmist asks it right here. The word purity, it means to be clean or to keep clean or to be kept clean. Kind of gives us an image of a house. This is a very dirty house. And the goal of a Christian life, and sometimes metaphorically, if you will, this is kind of how our life looks like. We let so much stuff of the world in, and we forget that our lives are to be pure, that we are set apart for God, for his service. You guys realize that, right? The day that you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became holy in his sight, obviously, but then you still got the flesh. Paul says, I'm torn between the two. On one end, this is what I want to do. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And on the other end, this is what I really do. We still fight with that, and we'll fight with that until we go to see Jesus. So the Christian life is one of the primary goals for the Christian life is to be pure. How do we do that? I like this picture. This woman, lady's cleaning her window. You look at her eyes here. She's looking back at herself. We need to go through a self-examination, and the way to do that is simply asking the tough questions. Asking the tough questions in life. As it relates to God's purity. Is this an activity that is pure? Is this an activity that brings glory to God? Is this something that he would approve? It may seem like a simple question, but simply examining ourselves, not against, look, you don't examine yourself against some church covenant. Church covenants and churches, that's one thing set aside. It's good. But our standard, brothers and sisters, is right here. That is, when God's word is clear that this activity is wrong, then we don't do it. We simply go the other way, and we try to answer the question, how we can keep ourselves pure. The psalmist poses this question to the reader, that would be us, and shows the importance of moral purity in the life of a believer. And that's us. How we become pure in this life is actually in combination not only with the Holy Spirit, but with His Word. That means we got to be in there. And as we go along in this sermon, I'm going to talk about the importance of daily Bible study and how we navigate and how we stay on course, because the path reference is very clear here. But then he goes on and he immediately answers it. How do we do this? If the goal is moral purity, that is, we are to walk pure in this world, that we're to clean our house, so to speak. And by the way, all of us, probably all of us in this room at some point, we periodically clean our house, right? Spring cleaning, we hear all that. In the fall, we throw stuff out. It might be a good practice for us in our own hearts to make sure that we're purifying ourselves too, even though in one sense we're already pure, but in the other sense we live here. But how do we do this? By what means? The psalmist gives us the answer. Notice right here, verse 9. By guarding it according to your word. Read that again. By guarding it according to your word. And this word in the Hebrew, guarding, not only refers to diligence, but also obedience. There's a lot of commands in the Bible that are tough, aren't they? And there's a lot of commands in the Bible that we go, God will overlook that. But yet when we're confronted with issues of our own heart, that is the time at that point to sit there and go, this is what God's word says in relation to what I'm getting ready to do. And you have a choice. At that moment, you, I, all of us, we have an opportunity to show God how much we love Him by saying, I will obey God rather than my flesh. And we choose to get the word. And the Bible, you know, the Bible speaks to us. Many of you that study your Bibles every day, I know a lot of you do. And you tell me how God has hit this area of your life and you want to go another direction. You don't want to do that. And I commend that. But the only way that you're ever going to reach at least anywhere near a clean house is by studying His Word. And you have to guard it. I love this picture. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is a soldier on guard at that tomb. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we need to be on guard in our own hearts and in our own lives to make sure that we are walking a life that is pure before God and before the world. Because people say, what does it matter? I'm already going to heaven. To me, that's a wrong attitude. The right attitude is, okay, I see this verse, whatever the verse is, whatever your particular struggle is, I see that verse, but I want to do it my way. Realize this, that anytime you do it your way, there are consequences to doing it your way. And some of those are long term. Some of them are short term. I've heard horror stories of Christians that have done things their way and they reap the consequences years down the road. I mean, just bad stories. So you think, well, wait a minute, that's no fun. If God tells me I can't do that, but I want to do it and it's not a big deal, it's not hurting anybody, why can't I do it? Well, the simple answer is this. You don't need a theological degree. The simple answer is God said it, I believe it, I'll do it. That's a simple answer. We got to watch ourselves daily. And how is this done? It's by His Word. Matter of fact, I would even extend this. That when God speaks to your heart, as you read His Word and God, and you have those moments, I call them theophanies of God. That is moments when God encounters you where you are living and speaks directly to you. You have an opportunity at that moment to stop, and say, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to obey his word, even at great personal cost. So whether you're in a business or your boss or employer wants you to do something and you know it's morally not right, obligation, I think, according to the word, not to do it. And that we are to obey the word at all cost. And you have to let the chips fall where they may. The goal is obviously purity. Bible study. Obviously, the psalmist here is leaning this direction. I'm going to read it again if I can. There it is. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So obviously, the psalmist, at least in this particular text, realized the importance of looking at our lives and matching it according to the word. And so he had some idea of, at least at that time, probably scroll study, but they would be in the word, studying the word, so that they could live a pure life. When I think of Bible study, this is what I think of. There are, do you realize, just by show of hands, how many of you have access to the internet? Just, oh, wow, pretty much everybody. There is a website, which is on our website, I think it still is, studylight.org. Studylight.org, you can get on there and you can, oh, wait a minute, that's too much work, Pastor. How many hours do you spend cleaning your house, playing with your kids? How many hours do you spend on that special thing you like to do every week? You need to set aside time for God. There is no excuse in this day and age for not having access to commentaries, Bible study programs, Bible study software. We live in an age of technology. I know some technology is bad, but some technology is very good. Here's what you have to decide. Is God's word valued and vital in your life? I think we should be all studying it every day. That's my personal approach, because this world that we live in is, I'm going to tell you just in my own words, jacked up. We get bombarded daily. We need to be in the word daily. Not only being in the word, but when God says this is wrong, then you don't do it. You go the other way. You have to fight it. I realize that. You have to fight it. I want to talk about small groups just for a minute. See how much fun they have in small groups and the Bible study? There's two groups that I broke it down into. The first group is called a Grow Connect. Basically deals with seven or eight characteristics of a disciple: worship, Bible study, evangelism, all of those areas go into those Grow Connect groups. I've also made a paradigm shift. After doing further studies on this for my program, realizing that long-term groups actually do not do as well as short-term focus groups. So what we're going to do is, when we start these Grow groups, and it'll be coming in the next 5 to 6 weeks, these Grow groups are going to focus on discipleship. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's very important, and I think it's doable depending on you. Newt Larson told me something years ago, and it has been absolutely true. People do what they want to do. You can put this in place, and if people don't want to do it, they won't do it. I'm going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask everybody in this church, when we start these Grow groups up, I'm going to ask you to sign up for one, knowing that it's only 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks long. And the reason is, I am convinced the only way for the church to grow spiritually is by getting in the Word and getting around other believers like ourselves who want to be more and more like Christ. It is that important. And so if you've got a baby Christian that has trusted in Christ, say, 5, 6 years ago, and they're never in the Word, how are they growing? Because the Bible is spiritual meat, spiritual milk for us to grow by. So if it sounds, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to say that reading your Bible is absolutely vital to your own spiritual growth. And then there's what I call Care Connect groups. Grow Connect groups really deal with discipleship. Care Connect groups are specialized groups, parents of prodigals, those types of things. Alcohol recovery, breaking addiction, single parenting, and the complexities of that issue. So all of these things come together in two different groups, grow groups, care groups. If we get bigger and we have to start fanning out, then that'd be a different issue. But what I'm saying is this. You're going to see some sign-up sheets coming around in the future. As your pastor, I would encourage you to become involved in those small groups. You have to decide, you know, look, I don't know how many days out of, or hours out of the week that you guys spend fellowshipping with the world, but you need to be fellowshipping with the witnesses and in the Word. And I say, well, Pastor, that's just every Tuesday or every Thursday or every Friday, whenever this group meets, that's just too much. Okay. I go back to what Newt Larson said, people do what they want to do, because I know all of us rearrange our schedule when it's something important that we want to do, don't we? I do. I rearrange it. That takes a priority. You just got to set priorities. So I'm going to encourage you, when you see this coming down the pike in the next 5 weeks or so, that you sign up for these groups. Okay, obeying the word keeps us from straying. Look at verse 10. Now notice, the psalmist kind of builds. He starts out by saying, let's consider the issue of purity. How can I maintain purity? Oh, well, that's easy. The way to do that is by studying the word. But now he's going to take it a little bit further. Notice that the way that you pursue this, this word helps us from straying, but the way that you do this focuses on, how did I get that mixed up? Okay. With my whole heart, I will seek you. The word seek means an intense desire to study the word and to learn to apply it to our hearts and lives. That's what that word means. An intense desire. It's crazy. I got an iPhone. And, of course, you guys know I'm a huge Braves fan, so I put that in there. Do you know my phone actually sends me alerts 30 minutes before the Braves get ready to play? I'll hear it going off, and I go, oh, wow, the Braves are getting ready to come on. Okay, I got to get ready. It's because I have an intense desire to follow the Braves. You have intense desires, too. But here we look at our action. With my whole heart, I will seek you. I was really influenced by a scholar in the 1800s, Albert Barnes. He would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, light candles. This was in the mid-1800s. He would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, light candles, open his Bible, and begin to work on a volume of commentaries from both the Old and the New Testament. And in 1868, he said this, that these volumes may have a part in this great work. His reference is to saving souls. Is my earnest prayer, and with many thanks to the public for its favor, and to God, the great source of all blessings, I send them forth to his care. To me, that signifies somebody that had a great desire and a great passion for God's word. He would get up early, and then he would do his pastoral duties, but he would diligently sit down and write this commentary. A lot of it I agree with, some of it I don't, but I'm not going to fault the man on his passion, and I guarantee you that he got rewarded when he got to heaven. And this is somebody that lived, 150 years ago. We've come so far that we get passionate about a lot of things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when was the last time you genuinely got excited about being in God's Word? Do you know, last week I talked about the Word being breathed on by God. Do you know there's people in third world countries and remote islands that would die to have one of these Bibles? There's, well, Wycliffe Bible translators this week, I saw a picture where a lady was holding the Bible like this, like it was a treasure. We got so many of them, they collect dust. We don't read them. I almost put one picture up there today. It showed a black Bible with dust all over, and it said, "Read me," written by their finger. Do you want that? Do you want to be obedient so badly that the most important thing, one of the most important things in your life, is that you want to study God so that you see His face clearly? This next picture just got me. Because see, this is the goal. This is the goal, to devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. That is the goal of a Christian life. I know it's a picture out in the middle of nowhere, but this lady, this young woman, it would appear from this picture and that verse that her whole goal in this life is to know more about God, know more about His ways, and to become more and more like Him. That's the job, I think. It's to become more and more like God and less like the world. And the way that that happens is through letting God confront our hearts and transform our hearts through His Word. You say, well, is it as simple as that? I think it is. Now, you're talking to about a guy that was in, when I would go to Bible studies in Sunday school, I'd really get nervous because of the questions I would ask. And they'd all look at me, and they were very patient. But you know when I really grew the most, and I told you this last week, was when I got to Bible college, and I started studying the Word, and I began to grow, and I realized, whoa! Well, it ain't true. Ain't's a word, by the way. That's not true. What he said or she said or he said is not true. That's not even in the Bible. That's their opinion. You got to know the Word yourself. You've got to study the Word yourself so that you can grow yourself into a person that God would be pleased with and to live for Him in this world. This is it's a tough thing to do. Then we have the main concern, not only our action, but the main concern. Notice what this psalmist's main concern was. Here's where I get the path terminology. Let me not wander from your commandments. You guys can think of a lot of clear commands that are tough, right? I can think of a bunch that are tough. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's easier said than done in some cases. Love one another as I have loved you. Be holy, for I am holy. That's in the New Testament, too. That's not just an Old Testament phraseology. You are a holy people, a royal priesthood. Therefore, in light of that, be holy, for I am holy. Someday, me and you, we're going to stand before Christ. And when we stand before Christ, a lot of the stuff that we've done, I don't know how this all works out in this grand scheme of things, but I can tell you this, you will stand before Christ and you will give an account for your life, whether good or bad. The good news is you're in Christ, you're in heaven, but you're going to lose rewards. And as I see it, if you have to use that as a motivator, use it as a motivator to be in His Word. I choose to serve God out of love, not fear. I heard one pastor this week. It's probably going to offend some KJVers, but he goes, when I was growing up, it was the KJB version, you know, the King James Version, KJB. Doesn't matter. It's God's Word. And he said that when I went into the Word, I learned more about God and began growing in my personal relationship with Him. So it's very, very clear. Our concern should be that we obey the commands of God. I don't want to wander from this. Some of us may be really far away today. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. I'm just throwing it out there. You may be very, very, very far away from God. And maybe this is your first time in church in a year. Maybe this is your first time in church in 3 months. And usually when that is the case, then usually I can pretty well go ahead and say it. You're probably not in this. Because this drives you to come worship him on Sunday. This drive should drive all of your lives. And let me say this. We do not do this perfectly. Nobody does this perfectly. But if you're not even trying, what does it say about your relationship to God? Not worth it. I'd rather do my own thing. I personally struggle with that. I personally wonder if you come to Christ by way of faith, and then from that point on, you never do another thing for God. And you guys know I believe once saved, always saved. But you never do anything else for God. Now, I don't know. That's an iffy one. That's going to be a God call. But I can tell you this, that if the Holy Spirit truly lives in you, you have at least an inkling. At least something says, I want to be more like God and less like this world. There has to be a drive in there somewhere. I think a lot of us, and myself included, what we need to do is we need to have a good old repentance session so that we can say, okay, I'm going to dump this stuff out. I'm going to get rid of this stuff, and I want to go back to studying God's word. The psalmist, notice what he says. With my whole heart, let me not wander from your commandments. Very, 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 very clear commandments in the Bible. Very clear. And sometimes we don't like them because we don't want to do that. We want to do this. And, okay, we pay the consequence for that. You have a choice. You can stay on God's path and follow his word and be obedient, or you can turn off and do your own thing. But I'll tell you this, when you turn off and do your own thing, you're headed for trouble. It's down the road. There's a lot of things when I was a young Christian, a lot of things stick in my mind. I just remember that pastor in class one day just breaking down, standing up, crying, say, I wasted 20 years of my life when God was calling me into the ministry, and I didn't go. He said, I wasn't in his word. And I remember him weeping. All the guys in class were weeping with him. He said, I took the wrong road. I didn't follow God. And I don't know where he is today, but he got it right. He got back and he got it right. He went to Bible college. God called him to preach. He needed to preach. And we have the same choice in our own life. We can do it our way or we can do it God's way. I want to encourage you to do it God's way. Read the word. When it's there, do it. When it's not there, don't do it. That would be, but then lastly, I know this is Mother's Day. A lot of you all have dinners. Obeying the word keeps us from straying and sinning against God. And there's a safeguard. Notice here, I have stored up your word in my heart. Stored up means to treasure. That means to put God's word in your heart. That means to study it. How many scriptures can you quote from memory right now? Beyond, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Everybody in this church should know that verse. What about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who caused us to be born again, abundant his mercy. That stuff, when it's in there, it will come out the moment that you need it. Turn from the world, turn towards God. The reason that the psalmist put this in here was that he said the way to combat this, the way to keep from sinning against God, is to store this in your heart. Well, that means in some sense you have to digest this. That means in some sense it's got to get in there. It doesn't get in there like this. Trust me, I've tried that. You will love Jesus. It doesn't work. The way that you get it in is right here to right here. The problem is some people just get it right here and don't let it go here. I think it all comes to that willingness to obey the word, watch our path, make sure that we are on God's path, and it will eventually lead you not to a sinless life. Don't fool yourself, and I'm not going to fool you either, because you're going to sin sometime this week. You're going to sin. But, again, I think the goal of the Christian life is to cut down on the sin, isn't it? You sin less and less, become more and more like Christ. I think that's a goal. I think it's a good goal. Put it up on your wall. I don't know. Stick it somewhere. 3x5 card. My goal is to become more like Christ. Study the word. Do those things. And all the while, people are watching us. You're a Christian. Yes. Why are you doing this? Even they know some of the stuff that we do is not right. They have some inkling that this is wrong, and then they look at you. And if you're doing what they do, then you're probably sinning. So we have this safeguard. I love this picture, too. The word should be locked in our heart. It should be put in there. If you could learn one verse a week, do one verse a week. Just start there. Just start. Maybe even memorize the verse we're looking at. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to his word. Just remember that one. Now, Psalm 119 has a lot of them. There's a lot of good in reference to the word. Jesus was the best. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And did I tell you that this word stored up means treasured? And that there's a connection? Wherever you value, if you value going to the beach on Sunday morning, that's where your treasure is. If you value nice cars and you spend your time buffing those cars, but it costs you to slip in your spiritual life, that's where your treasure is. Clearly, you can fool people, but you cannot fool God. None of us can. God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows your hearts. He knows my heart. He knows all of our hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we've got to get back to wanting to safeguard, putting God's word in our hearts so that we can become more and more like him in a godless and depraved generation. By the way, every time I use that phrase, I always look at Emmett. Emmett's not here today. I hope he's okay. Emmett never misses church. Rarely. Lastly, why do we do this? What's the purpose that I might not sin against you? That's the ultimate purpose. Why we would obey his word, stay on track, stay focused. Do you want to sin against God? I don't think anybody in this room in their right mind would say, yes, I want to sin against God. But we do because we lack understanding of his word and we have not come in contact with that word enough to know that we are sinning. Do you know there was stuff that I learned later on? I said, wow, that's a sin. I didn't know that. Once again, my boy, Martin Luther. Sin is essentially departure from God. I guess if you want to boil it down, I like Luther's definition there. You know the Bible, you know the word, and when you choose to lay it down and you walk your own way, that's essentially departure from God. That's what's wrong with the world today. They're living for themselves. They've departed from God. They need Christ. They need to come back and be saved. The way that you get saved is this. You come before God and you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be forgiven of my sin. I trust in Jesus Christ to pay for my sin. And I believe in him with all of my heart. I believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You're saved. But sin is essentially a departure from God, and that's absolutely correct. This is another purpose, I think. KJV. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know what city that is, but if it's Chicago, it probably is. You think there's a lot of sin going on in this city? There's a lot of godless people that need to know Jesus. And there's Christians that live in that city, and that is a combat zone. And the reason that we want to study the Word is that we don't sin against God, but we can also show others the way to Christ. But, and I've heard this. Pastor, I don't really know how to share the gospel. I said, well, how long have you been a Christian? 30 years. 30 years and you can't share the gospel? That's what I'm thinking. I didn't say it like that. So I took them to the Roman Road. Everybody in this church probably knows the Roman Road. I've given it to you at least 3 or 4 times. It's simple. Romans 3:23, what is that? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of. Romans 10:9-10, that if you can believe in your. Yep. You guys know it. And you become justified, that means totally acquitted of all charges, you're in the kingdom. What I'm saying is this. So important. If the Bible is central to the work of the church, then it needs to be central to the work of our lives. And if you do not make a daily habit of getting in and studying the Word, you're headed for trouble. Or you can just continue down this road of inconsistent living. It's tough. I realize that. Schedules and all that. But you've got to make a Bible study daily, at least, at minimum. Even the picture that I showed where the guy had stuff all over, I like that kind of study. But, of course, that's what I've done with my whole life, basically, since I was 30. And I realize that may be unrealistic. But every pastor would love to see every member of their congregation in the Word studying it daily, because it would reflect. It would show. Let me ask you a personal question. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to do that. When was the last time you opened this up? When was the last time you opened it up and you said, Lord, speak to me? I'm foolish enough to believe, and when I sit down and do sermons, I look at this not only from a pastoral perspective, but I also say, okay, Lord, how does this apply to me? God, maybe I need to be a readjustment here with my whole heart. That was one thing that God hit me on. He said, well, you're a pastor. Absolutely, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a sinner saved by grace. But we have to be willing to have God speak to us. God, help me store up your word in my heart. Help me want to stay on the path so I don't wander from you. It starts with you. I can show you that it's important. We can talk about the importance of this. But ultimately, you have to be the one to decide. Yeah. Dads, go home today. This is what I want you to do. Dads, fathers, go home today, have a Bible study with your wife and your kids. Show them that you love them, because that's the way to do it. And then it would be okay if you said this, I'm going to start doing this at least twice a week. Now, I failed in that area myself. That's something God convicted me on. It's so easy. Audrey's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. The kids are gone. I got my new toy, my iPhone. Get going with that, figuring out these new apps. And God convicted me and said, wait a minute. Are you seeking me with your whole heart? And I can truthfully say today, no, I have not. Doesn't mean I don't love God's word. Doesn't mean I don't study it. But I had to go back and look at this myself. With my whole heart, I seek you. I'm not doing that. And if we were to get real about it, you're not doing it either. Just a thought.